Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have just to open your word today. Father, you know my prayer is that you will move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. That for those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you would comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. For Father, the book of Revelation is about you, has been about you, and will be about you until you come again. Help us to understand chapter 22, and may our lives be changed because of that understanding. Thank you for teaching me, Father, that others may be taught. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
I just flew back in last night from speaking at my alma mater down in Livingston, Alabama. And there are some things in life that does not change very much. Amen. There are some things that you wish would change more than others. And some things in our lives that should never change. But as I went back to the school and was speaking over the weekend, I was really surprised at how complacent we can be when we think things are okay. And literally, I realized again why I didn't like, for many years, I didn't like private schools, whether it was private public or private Christian schools. And I got reminded of why sometimes I struggle with the separation. There in the public schools in Livingston, Alabama, it's all black. It's the whole public school system is all black. Not one white student in the public school. And the private academy outside of town is all white. Not one black student in the private school there in Livingston. We still have a long way to go, folks. And this is America in 2002. Now, we think that's surprising, amen? We really think that's surprising that a public school can have all blacks with no white in it, and private schools can have all whites but not one black in it. But every Sunday morning, you can go to most churches and it has all whites with no black in it. And there's all black churches with no whites in it. We got a long way to go, folks.
Amen. Right.
And I just was reminded, praise God, that he is going to use us, help, hopefully, to change these things around. Not only in church, but also in the schools and the way we think. And the book of Revelation has helped me a great deal with that. We must look at the perspective in the world the way God looks at it. We must look at the future as and how God sees the future. We must live our lives accordingly of how God sees the future. And chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, I believe, brings it all home. I've already established what I believe. I do not believe that chapter 22 is unfinished. I do not believe that it is disjointed. And I do not believe that there are things that was not said that needed to be said in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. I believe that the book of Revelation was broken down in basically three ways. Chapter 1, I believe, was the past. From the time God created the heavens and the earth and Adam and Eve till Christ came on the earth and died on the cross. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, starting in the book of Acts, the New Testament started, the church started, what we call the church age today, chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. And that starts back again at chapter 22, verse 6 through 21. Then I said, I believe in chapters 4, verse 1 through 22, verse 5, is all the future events of that's going to take place. And then the heavens, the new heaven and the earth will be on here as God will destroy what we know today. Since I believe that chapters 22, verses 6 through 21, goes back to chapters 2 and 3. It is a present day warning. After seeing so much of the future, it's hard to turn that future off to look back at the warning that he gives the church in chapters 2 and 3. That is a present day warning of a future coming. It is a present day warning of what you need to do to receive the rewards that God has for you and I. Understanding that, let's look at chapter 22 again and see if we can break down a couple of things that you and I need to know. Verse 1 through 5, again, I believe, is the last aspect of what the heavenly city looks like, but it gives us a slight view of the inside of the city. I think there's a lot of analogy in chapter 21 through 22:5. I think that there are so many who get confused about what the future heaven, the new heaven and the new earth is going to look like, that we get complacent in trying to say that the heaven and the earth is going to be somewhat like we know it today. And because we're trying to look at the future from our point of view, we get confused about what's being said that heaven's going to be. Hey, I'm going to give you a secret. When there is absolutely nothing to detect your mind, to take away from your concentration on the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and the Holy Spirit that's living inside the holy city, why would you ever want to go out? Why would you want to come in and out of the city when you have everything you need right there in front of you? Where you have longed for that peace and that completeness. Why would you think that there's going to be somewhere else outside of the holy city that you're going to want to live, and then you're going to take a pilgrimage every now and then to come back to the heavenly city to see God? Does that make any sense at all? And if you don't understand that, you think that there's something outside the city, the gates are going to be open so people can come in and out. Look, I'm going to say the first 10,000 years, I'm going to just look at Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen. 10,000 years, I'm going to be smoking on the light. Getting a swift of God. And after 10,000 years, I may decide to take a quick look to see who made it. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I ain't not too many times I look up from a good steak. You know I'm not politically correct when it comes to eating. When I sit down, I want something walked on the hoof that's been killed on my plate. Amen. I mean, I don't know about you, a good movie. You know how many fights go on in a home over a good movie? And somebody walks right in front of you just as the good part of the movie's happening. It ain't a woman in the world that won't stay out of a room, that's if she's married, won't stay out of a room for 3.5 quarters. Just at the end of the game, when it's just getting good and you're just going to see who's going to win, she walk in and click, we need to talk. Ah, what? You ever seen a man walk in just at the end of a tee? Somebody get in the way of that movie or that game because I'm looking and concentrating. Can't hear you, Christians. Do you think after the flesh is removed, selfishness is gone, envy is removed, that I'm going to decide that I want to walk in and out of the city and not concentrate on the Lord Jesus Christ? I think there's a great deal of misconception in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. And he showed me, verse 1, chapter 22, a pure river water of light, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Now, let me tell you something. Now, whether it's figuratively speaking or whether it is a true thing, I don't really care. I just want to know I'm there. Can I get a win?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I believe with all my heart that it is both. The tree of life has always represented eternal life. The only ones going to get that is those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's been washed in the blood, who had their robes washed, who is going to be there for an eternity. And we're going to have our new bodies, and we're going to have our new life. Some say, well, those that's going to make it through the tribulation, those going to make it through the millennial period, they're not going to have a new glorified body. I don't know. And that tree is going to give its fruit every month, a different fruit. I tell you, man, I wish I could invent that tree right now. Amen. But I do know something about the Lord Jesus Christ and his glorified body. He sat down and ate. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Now, was it for sustenance? Or was it just for enjoyment? Finally, you could eat not to survive, but just enjoy the savor of the taste. Jesus sat there and what did he do? Not even have to worry about calories. Have a body that you don't have to worry about calories anymore.
Oh, yeah.
See, I got my metabolism so slow, I don't have to eat a donut. Just walk by it. Can't hear you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Just forget about the miller, man. Just stick it on your hip. Amen. Jesus Christ just sit down, and what did he do? He said, bring those fish over here. Cooked it. Ate with them. So it's something about the glorified body that's going to be able to sit and eat in a different way. I can't explain it. God didn't give me enough information, and I'm not going to waste my time trying to figure it out. But he says it's going to have 12 kinds of fruit. God loves 12s. I said that. He just loves that 12. Ended up with 12 months of the year. Is that a coincidence? You know what a coincidence is, right? Just a small miracle of God left anonymous. No such thing as a coincidence. Just a little dab of God to let you know he's still in control when you don't think so. Wow! Is the pastor getting down today or what, huh? Guess not. Okay, let's move on. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. If there's no more curse, how can there be anyone that's not living righteously outside the city? Everyone that is of the curse is judged. They're in eternal damnation at this time. The great white throne has already taken place. I think it's figuratively speaking, as we're going to get back in verses 6 through 21 to let you know that it's back to the church warning you that you need to live right now in order to get the right rewards later. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. Woo! For the first time, you and I are going to be put in a position where we can look on God and not die. Moses says, can I see you? God said, no one can see me and live. He said, but I will let you see my after parts, my behind body parts, my back. That's what has been translated, but that's not what he saw. God put him in the cleft of the rock, passed by, and God's presence glowed so much that when he stepped out of the rock and looked, he didn't see the back of God, as many people tried to say, but he saw the afterglow of God being there. And it was so bright that it lit him up. And when he came off the mountain, the people was afraid of him. My boy looked like I did at night with radiation pellets. Amen. Just glory. God just wanted to give me an example. Maybe it wasn't like with Moses. After a while, they said, boy, put a bag on your head. It's the one thing for people to tell you to put a bag on your head. And then there's another reason they can tell you to put a glow bag on your head. Because he was glowing so much. And then the boy lost the glow and was afraid to pull it off because he didn't want no one to know he lost the glow. God said, anything I can give you to bring glory to me, you can take and make it wrong and do wrong with it. Oh, that's going to be gone. Verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no lamp neither. Neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I believe this is John speaking. He's speaking about what the angel showed him. Verse 6 and 7. And he said unto me, these words are faithful and true. Jesus Christ speaks up, takes over from John speaking. Jesus Christ stands in and said, we're coming to the end of the book. We're coming to the end of the message. We're coming to what you need to know. Now, I want you to take this back and tell the people, because I, being God, and God the Father has sent his angels to show you the message of the book of Revelation, singular, about me. Now, you go back and tell everybody what you've seen, because it's true. That's what verse 6 and 7 is all about. Jesus Christ is reaffirming that what you just heard, John, what you have just seen, is the gospel truth. You can lay your bet on it, baby. What you have seen, what I have said, what you have, I want you to reveal to people, will happen, John. None of these angels came on their own. John gets so moved about what he sees and what he hears, he forgets and he falls down to worship the angel. Look at this, verse 8, John speaking. And I, John, saw these things. I heard them. What? Verse 7, what did I hear? Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, who spoke that? Jesus spoke that. That's why when we get over here to verse 18 and 19, where some people think John is speaking again, I don't think it's John. John did not have the right to make promises or a curse without God saying it. Look at this. And I, John, saw the things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Now, who is present right now? Jesus Christ is present. The angel is present. And John, the revelator, who's revealing about Jesus Christ, is present. He gets so caught up in what the angel is showing him and then the witness of Jesus Christ, that what the angel is showing you is true, that he falls down to worship the angel. And the angel gets a little uptight because his boss is standing there. Can't hear you. You know, there's a couple of angels up there that took some pride once before. Anybody know their name? Lucifer and demons. If you're from Spain, demons. The little red-headed guys will make some horns and tails and pitchforks. At least that's what they want you to think about. They took some glory. They've never been the same. And they didn't even take it when their boss was around. And the angels know you don't worship angels. You only worship God. And here's John falling down at the feet of an angel when the angel's boss is right there. And the angel knows that Jesus is speaking. But he breaks in real quick. Whoa! 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 trying to get me in trouble, boy. Get off your knee. Don't worship me. You only worship God. Can you see the flow of what's happening there? Then he says, verse 10, and he said unto me, seal not the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean, he that is unjust, let him stay unjust still, if we're talking about future events? The curse is removed. There is no injustice. He can't be talking about what's going on during the heavenly city. We must reflect back to chapter 2 and 3 that goes back to the warning of the seven churches. The seven churches represent all the churches that will exist during the church age. The age that they are in right now as he's revealing this and writing this. He said, now let people continue to live the way they are, but they must change if they want to get the heavenly city and live and get the tree of life, eternal life, to live by the flowing river of the living Holy Spirit, that they may dwell upon the tree of life that's going to give his fruit, that's going to sustain us for eternity to come. So let them continue to live the way they're doing right now, but you bring the revelation to them and see if they'll change their lives. Can you see it? See what's going on. It's a reflection back now, presently, warning you and I and those that do not know Christ, who's living the way they want to live. Now, what better way of explaining today? Live the way you want to live. Do what you want to do. I want it my way. Josh, you just go ahead and continue to live that way. Go ahead and continue to think that way if you want to. I'm not going to force you to change. I'm just going to give you the truth through my servant and see if you're going to do what I've asked you to do. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Why? Jesus Christ kicks back in. Jesus takes back over the conversation. I love this. Jesus starts speaking. John gets all emotional, falls down to worship the angel. Angel corrects him, starts telling him what you really need to do. Get back to take this message to the folks that's living the way they want to live right now. Jesus says, well, I guess I better get back in here since I'm the one that's the center of this whole book. Can't hear you. You know how many times some of us start serving in church and we forget why we're serving in church? Can't hear you. Some of us want to be obedient because of what the church is asking, and we forget why the church is asking. Some of us start talking about giving or not giving, and we forget it's not whether you like it or not. That's God's commandment. We forget why we give. You know, some people give because they want to control. Some people give because they want others to know. Some people give because of this and that. But some people don't give because they think they got a word and what God's church is doing. And if you're not a leader, you don't. It's amazing. Jesus, hey. It's me. I'm here. No one takes the center stage when I'm standing here. Can't hear you. Let's get back to the message. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 7, as he's saying, I come quickly, that was broken. Verse 12, he comes back and he reminds them, I come quickly. I'm amazed. How many years has it been since this book was written? See, your idea quickly and God's idea quickly is two different quicklies. Right. Can I get a witness? Yes. Quickly down under. Some of you get it on the way home. Some of you won't. Quickly. Quickly, I come quickly. God says, my quickly is dependent upon my patience. Your quickly is dependent upon time. God says, if I wait 3 million years, what is that compared to eternity? That's quick. If I put any time anywhere in eternity, that's quick. I dictate the time. Don't try to put a date on it. Don't tell me when to come. I determine what quickly is, and when I come, it will be quick. I think that's what he means. Not talking about time, how long. It's that when he does it, you won't have a time to think, oh, I better change. Give a pastor some play on this. Just, I appreciate that. God, don't put time on my quickly. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I'm the front door of your house, the back door of your house. I am the living room in your house. I am the bedroom in your house. I am the closet in your house. I am the garage in your house. I be every aspect of you. I should be your first thought. I should be your last thought. I should be every thought in between. Pray without ceasing. I do what I want to do. I don't do what I don't want to do. I move when I want to move. I don't move when I want to move. You got a problem with that? See, that's God. That's why we call him God and not Fred. Not Janet. Not Bob. Not Gloria. We call him God, capital G. God. Can anyone relate to the pastor? Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may rent. Have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. See, he says, hey, this is now. Blessed are you that you get yourself together, that you wash your robe, that you accept the Jesus Christ, that you get the tree of life, that you're going to get the rewards of the Christian on how you live after you become a Christian. Remember that, he says. Don't think just because you become a Christian, you can have any type of attitude in any type of way you want since you become a Christian. Don't think you have a right to do and say and move any way you want against God's bride. Don't get caught up in who you think you are. God says, I will deal with those who mess up my bride. Make sure you treat the bride right. Because I will deal with you. Can't hear you. Isn't that just an awesome thing? See what he says. Blessed are the day that wash their robes, that have washed their robes. We want to talk about, as chapter 2 and 3 says, through the seven churches, who represents all churches in the church age, I believe. That they may have right to the tree of life, eternal life, and may enter through the gates into the city, not in and out of the gates. For outside are dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and make a lie. God said, these are the type of people you're dealing with. They're still alive on the earth right now, not in the heavenly city. Not when God destroys the heavens and the earth as we know it and builds the new city with his bride and the glory that heaven is going to be like. Comes back to the present day he's dealing with and warning those that are in the church. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things. Same thing he said over there in verse 6 and 7. Since he was interrupted, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is the Holy Spirit. I think Jesus Christ is talking about what, if he can talk about the angels, he can talk about God, which he's going to do again, and he can talk about anything he wants. He can talk about the Spirit also, amen? This is his testimony and his revelation, I believe, to John, to tell him, get back and warn the church that is there in front of you right now. Come and let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify, I believe this is Christ, not John. Because he's going to bring a curse or a blessing. I don't think John has that right. I haven't seen it anywhere where God has given him that right to say this. Could be. It could, can be arguable. This is just the way I see it. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of this prophet of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. The worst plagues is being condemned and not go to heaven. If you change the word of this book and don't believe it and don't think you got to be right before God, you're going to have the curses in the book. Verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life. God, through Jesus Christ, has given us the right to have the tree of life. Jesus Christ still knows he submits to the Father when it comes to role. When it comes to essence, he's exactly the same, but he's in his role as the head of the church, representing the headship for God the Father Almighty. Same thing he said back over in 6 and 7. He gives some glory to God in verse 6. Why can't he give some glory to God in verse 19? Shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. God said, don't mess with what I have written. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to subtract it. You just obey it. Look at the difference. Verse 18, for I testify. Look at verse 20. He who testifies. I think there's a change of person speaking. Can't hear you. And that's why I think between 19 and 20, a different speaker is speaking. And I think 20 and 21 is John. He who testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. I don't think that's Christ saying that right there. I think it's John quoting what Christ said. Behold, I come quickly. Amen. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you all. Amen. And the church said,
amen.
That is some good preaching right there, folks. And if I say so myself. Bless the reading of God's word. Praise God. We can say Revelation may be finished, but it is not done. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for what you want to do and accomplish. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to finish another book. Slow as your pastor is, it's amazing. We can get through anything. But Father, thank you that you've used me. And thank you for what you want to do. And thank you for, Father, the greatest gift in all the world. And that is the ability to open your word again. And not talk about the way you will be in the book of Revelation, but to go to the book of Matthew and talk about how you are. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
Have a good Sunday.